Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I've been talking to you out of the book of James each week, and we talked some about chapter 1 and chapter 2, and want to review a little bit of that. In James chapter 1, we learned about being patient in trouble. And don't know about you, but one of those things sometimes I ask God, pray for him to give me patience, and then he put several things in my life that give me a chance to practice that and to grow. And it's one of those things, be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it. But good encouragement there, James chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, in the book of James, we learn to practice the truth, or as my good friend Mr. Toby Keith would say, a little less talk and a lot more action. And the amazing part was, when I talked about that, Toby Keith was actually here in Lexington, so I should have got him on the program in Rupp Arena with Reb White and boom. But, the truth of the matter is that the Bible tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And today we're going to kind of continue that topic about speaking and the words we speak. And we're going to look at chapter 3 in the book of James. And we're going to start with this premise that the mature follower of Jesus has power over their tongue. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The mature follower of Jesus has power over their tongue. Now, we all know that age is not necessarily a sign of maturity, is it? I mean, we know people that are 16, they're actually pretty mature, and we know people that are 76 that don't make really mature decisions, or definitely are not mature with their mouth. And so, I need help in that area. I've been guilty of sticking my foot in my mouth many, many times. Tell a story one time when I had my grocery store and I was having problems with the computers, and I called a guy at the wholesaler where I bought my groceries from, who was their IT guy, and was trying to explain to him what I needed, the reports and the problems we were having. And they kept paging me, telling me I had a phone call. So finally, after the third page, I put the guy on hold and said, hold on, please. I'm sorry, I have an emergency phone call. And they said, hey, it's your dad. And I thought, well, man, something's gone wrong. They've paged me three times. And so I went to get on there. And so I pushed the button on the phone to pick up the line my dad was on. And I said, I'm sorry that you had to wait so long. I said, I'm talking to, I'll just make up a name, let's say Brad. And he's a great guy, but he doesn't know squat about the grocery business. And all of a sudden, Brad said, Greg, you still got me on the line. And so I just totally threw Brad under the bus, right in his face. And so I think we've all been there with our tongue. And we've, the Bible says that the same tongue that we praise God with, we curse men with. And anyway, I just want to encourage you today, give you hope that maybe your life might be a little better, a little more peace, if you kind of think about, what are the words that I'm saying? What am I using with my tongue? James, I love the Bible. People say, oh, it's a boring book. Not so fast, my friend. Chapter 3, James gives us 6 pictures of how the tongue can be tough to use and what it's like, and examples that I think we can all really relate to. He says, 1, a bit. Second example he is a rudder. 3, a spark with fire. An animal, he talks about a tiger. A spring of water. And then fruit. So I would encourage you to read James 3 this week. For some of you, I know you, every first of the year, you probably say, I'm going to read my Bible more this year. Well, maybe that kind of fell off after the first couple weeks in January. And so I want to encourage you to crack open the Bible, or get on your phone, use your Bible app, or just Google it, James chapter 3 in the Bible. I've been using the New Living Translation, and actually like the Message version too, because I've read the NIV and King James version so many years before. But I want to look at things that cause us to say ungodly things. The first thing is, I think, for me personally, that I've learned in my 53 years of life, that causes me to say ungodly things with my mouth, my tongue, is when I have pain or anger in my heart. If you have pain or anger in your heart, then, a lot of times you don't say good things because you're hurting. I've heard people say before, hurting people hurt other people. Think about that. Hurting people hurt other people, and they usually do that through their mouths, words they say to us. And a lot of times we say to the people we love, you know, they haven't hurt us, but because we hope, and most of the time they will love us anyway. But sometimes even we go too far with that, with words we say. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 is a verse that really has spoken to me over the last few years about looking to see what's coming out of my mouth. And it says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So I want to ask you the question today, what's your heart full of? Is it angry? You know, life's been hard, you've been kind of beaten up, just things have not gone the way you've planned. You thought, wow, at this stage of your life, you'd be a lot further along, and you know, married, kids, had the big house and two great cars and go on big family vacation every year, and or you'd be retired and have lots of money and be able to travel and go see your grandkids, or you would be looking forward to retirement and you're working two jobs and you've had health challenges and you're struggling just to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck. And y'all understand that. I've been there many, many times. And I have to admit, when I don't speak God-honoring words, a lot of times it's because my heart is full of hurt, pain, or maybe just anger. And y'all, I want to encourage you to just have a conversation with God. We get done here in about 7 minutes, you know, just turn the TV off, turn your phone off, turn the radio off, your computer off, whatever, and just talk to God about what's going on, how you're feeling. You know, God's the Bible is God's love letter to us, from Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis, to Revelation, the last book. It is God's love letter to us, how he has pursued us and wants a personal relationship with us and wants to keep it real. The second reason I think that we say ungodly things is external circumstances, outside circumstances in our life. And yet, I want to encourage you today that, you know, you may be going through some really painful and just difficult season of life. And I want you to know, because you hurt, God hurts. But I don't want you to be discouraged, like thinking, why has this happened to me? Or I thought if I was a follower of Jesus, I wouldn't have to deal with all these problems and disappointments and heartache. But Jesus warned us in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. And maybe you need to write that verse out on a post-it note and stick it in your bathroom mirror and the dashboard of your car and maybe in your wallet, your cubicle at work or whatever, to just be encouraged that, you know what, just because you're going through some difficulties, that does not mean God does not love you. And most of all, you can remember that Jesus is with you and that he has overcome the world. And that he will help you get through whatever it is you're dealing with. And that the sun is going to shine again. And the best is yet to come. So I encourage you to think about that and reading John chapter 16, 33. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I want to give you three ways to be considered wise with your tongue. You know, you're like, okay, I know I need to think before I speak. The old saying, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we speak, is a great reminder, a good frame of reference for keeping things in perspective about how much we talk. But I want to close out today here in the final few minutes. We have three ways to be considered wise. And the first one is just to live well. Hey, to live well. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 that helps us out with that. Because I know a lot of times you think, well, you know, what does that look like if I'm going to live well? Talk to me a little bit about that. And I base it off to James chapter verses 13 through 14. It says, do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. You live well, you live wisely, and you live humbly. It's the way you live, not just the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning. It's devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. And that's James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. I was reading it there from the Message version. But you say, okay, all right, Greg, if I live well and want to be considered wise, how do I do that? Well, I want to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 today. It says, so we have continued praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete understanding of what he wants to do in your lives. You know, for a lot of you right now, I'm sure you're like me in many seasons of my life. You're just like, God, I just need an answer. What is it that you want me to do in this situation? And, you know, so many times it's just about doing what Psalm 46:10 asks us. I share that a lot on here, but it's just such a powerful verse in my life, and I know many others. Psalm 46:10 says, simply be still and know that I am God. And friends, it's hard to do that in this culture that we live in of just busy, busy, busy. And yet God wants to speak to you. He cares. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And friends, God never wastes a hurt. He will use those painful things that have happened in your life if you allow him and surrender those to him and let him heal your heart and your mind. He'll use those to help others and to be a blessing. But I love here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, that it says that God wants to give you a complete understanding of what he wants to do in your lives. And I found a lot of times, either one, just the Holy Spirit will put that prompting in my heart of somebody to speak to, or number two, he will have somebody come to me and make a suggestion about something that gives me wisdom about what I need to do. So ask God. He wants to help you and give you wisdom. Also, the Bible says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, that we can ask God to make us wise with spiritual wisdom. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and you will continually to do good, kind things for others. All the while you're doing this, you will learn to know God better and better. And friends, I think that's one of the things that the Lord really, just as I get older and as I seek him more and hopefully am maturing a little bit, I still sometimes take 3 steps forward and 2 backwards. But I want to remind you, even if you take 2 steps backwards, if you've taken 3 forward, you're still 1 step forward, closer to God. And, you know, I know that God wants to help you and he wants to bless you. And the word that he's been kind of given to me over the past few years is about, Greg, I just want you to be obedient. You know, I know we live in a culture where people want to be popular and famous and all, but when you're a follower of Jesus, sometimes being obedient means doing the difficult things or the unpopular things. And, you know, God, he'll let you know what you're supposed to do. And as it tells us here in 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, that when we honor and please the Lord and continue to do good things for others, we will learn to know God better and better. You know, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. God has chosen us to be his voice here, and we can do it with our hands and our feet as well as our mouths. And so I've got to wrap up today's program, but I'm gonna give you 2 more things I think that can help you learn to live and be considered wise. So as we continue our study of James chapter 3, I'm Greg Horn, and I hope you'll join me tomorrow for Hope is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.